Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is How to Know When the End Will Come, Signs of the End. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I want to talk about some signs of what's coming in the end that are hidden in some stories in the Bible of what God did in the past. Our God is a God of patterns. He is a God of cycles. He is a God of order. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means He's not going to just flip out when He gets ready to deal with the evil in the world. He's not going to just flip out and do it some different way than what He's done in the past, because He's the same as He was then. He doesn't change. He's going to deal with it the same way that He dealt with evil and wickedness in the past. Okay. Now we know that the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the signs of, you know, of the end and you coming back and all that. And when he answered in Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read you some of those. The first thing that he warns about is to be not deceived, which is very interesting that that would be the very first thing that he says. And I believe that from that, we can deduce that deception will run rampant in that time. And I mean rampant. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And verse 23 says, Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what these verses tell us is that there are going to be people in that time who pretend they're Jesus. Okay? And there are going to be people pretending to be prophets who know where Jesus is. All right? This is what he's warning us about. And it must be going to be pretty rampant. I think because people will be so desperate in that time for him to come back, especially Christians are going to be like, please come back and get us, because it's going to be so bad. And the conditions, the circumstances everyone's living in is going to be so bad that it's like going to be like grasping at straws. And I think there are people that are going to exploit that. But here's the thing about, you know, Jesus. When he comes back for you, you won't have to go find him. He will come to you. Okay, so y'all remember that. If you get nothing else from this entire podcast, you remember, when he comes back, he will come to you. He knows where you are. If you're here then, he will come to you. Okay, we also know, now we're going to go a couple of different places in this podcast, so y'all hang with me. I'm getting somewhere with this. We also know that the only way that we cannot be deceived is by his spirit dwelling in us and knowing his word. And I'll tell you something, he and his word are the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay? So if you want more of him, you have to get more of his word. Spend more time in the word of God. It's really that simple. He wants to fill us with his glorious spirit, and he wants us to be just full all the way, you know, full and overflowing. But it depends on how much time we spend studying the word, and it also depends on how many barriers of sin are up in our lives that push him away. Okay? The closer you are to somebody, the better you can hear him. So if you want to hear him, get those barriers out of your life and start spending time in His Word every single day. You can listen to sermons as you drive to work, as you commute, as you clean your house. I listen to them a lot when I'm cleaning my house. And, you know, if I'm out walking, I listen to them then. You can listen to the Bible in audio form. You can read the Word in your prayer time. And every single Christian should have a set prayer time, because if you will set the same prayer time and keep it, He will start showing up in your prayer time. He'll start meeting you there. You'll feel His presence as you're praying and praising Him. And we need to get more of the Word, not just to, you know, get a certain amount of it. Oh, I'm going to do 3 chapters a day. Not for that, because He sees your heart. And He will not honor anything less than you seeking Him with your whole heart. The word in Jeremiah says, you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Not when you play Bible bingo. Okay? When you seek Him with your whole heart, you will get His presence. You will hear Him speak eventually. But not if you're just like, okay, I'm going to read a chapter. Oh, He didn't speak to me, so He's not, you know. That's not the way this works. This is a relationship, y'all. I'm trying to help you here. Please hear me on this. Okay, and it is not that difficult to get more of the Word. In old times, people could only read the Bible and go to church, but we have, look how many media we have that we can listen to Him. We have the internet, we have CDs, we have MP3s we can download to listen on our phones. We have television, we have radio, we have so many. We are without excuse. If we don't get the Word every single day, can I just tell you that? We are without excuse. There is no excuse. If you are a Christian and you are not getting the Word every day, there you have no excuse. There's a man listening right now. God told me this as I was typing up this podcast. There's a man listening right now, and you're saying to yourself, no, I don't have time to listen. Sir, the Lord says that you do. And that a day is coming very soon when your very life is going to depend on you knowing His Word, and that it is Satan who has convinced you you don't have time. But in fact, you're listening right now. This is very urgent. Your life is literally going to be on the line here, okay? Get the Word, or your life is about to be cut very short. There's some event coming in your life, sir, and I don't know what it is. He didn't show me. It's one you don't know is coming, and knowing His Word is going to make the difference in whether you live or you die. Okay, now, if you want to know how likely God is to do something, look at how He did it in times past in the Bible, okay? We see history in the Bible of when God became displeased with a place or a people and how He responded. And this gives us some indication, you know, because He said that He's going to come back in Revelations, there's a scripture that basically says when the cup of iniquity is full. And iniquity is, you know, the wickedness. So when it gets to a certain point, God's going to say, that's it. That's it. The time is now. Okay. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that. So let's look at a couple of these stories in relation to the end times. I'm going to show you how to kind of see the signs. It's not that hard. Y'all probably already know some of this, or you may know all of it. Okay. Now we know that the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the coming of the Son of Man is talking about Jesus coming back, okay? But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In the days of Noah, there was a big party going on, okay? Everybody was pretty much, they were doing their own thing. They didn't really care what God thought about what they were doing. They were throwing a big party and they just didn't care about God. They didn't care. If they believed in Him, they didn't care what He thought. And as a side note, another thing that was going on in the times of Noah is that the giants were mating with women. They were mating with humans, and producing a breed of something God did not design. And violence was rampant. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it goes on to say, and I don't have the scripture right in front of me, and I don't think I typed it up, but It goes on to say that, you know, God repented in his heart that he had made man, not because he made a mistake when he made men, but because they had just gone south after he put them on the earth so bad, and it really made him sad. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous to who? Probably perilous to Christians, be my guess. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Despisers of those that are good. We see a lot of that in our world, don't we? "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." How many people will not even consider accepting Jesus because they don't want to give up their sin? Can we just be frank here? "Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Having a form of godliness. So they resemble the godly. They resemble the godly. Okay. It's very easy to see how all these verses are fulfilled in our time. There's no question. Violence is also rampant. I mean, kids are taking guns to school. You know, it's bad. There are people opening a package and a bomb goes off. Violence and murder rates have been steadily increasing since the 1950s. And we are surrounded by people who resemble Christians who aren't. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, one other example. Let's look at the way the Lord reacted to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were very wicked in what they were doing, so God destroyed them by fire and brimstone, for anyone who doesn't know. That story is found in Genesis 18 and 19. And the story starts out, the Lord appears to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. And the Lord said he was going to go see if the situation was as bad as he had heard it was. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And then Abraham and God go back and forth about, you know, will you destroy it if there's 50 righteous in it? And then less and less, until he finally got down to 10 righteous. And God said, "I won't destroy it if there's 10. Since we know he did destroy it, apparently there was not even 10 righteous people in the 5 cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, so here's what I want to show you. In both of these stories, what happened right before they were destroyed? What happened right before destruction struck? Noah, Genesis 6, 11, and 12, the earth was full of violence, and the people were wicked or corrupt. The righteous were very few in the midst of all that mayhem. Only Noah was righteous in his time. He was a preacher, and, well, we can just imagine how people reacted to his preaching because they didn't want to hear his preaching. We're not told, but I think that he was probably made fun of and probably persecuted. Just like preachers today are persecuted by people who want to live in the flesh. Just like those living sinfully are trying to force everyone else to go along with their ways of life. Only Lot and maybe a few members of his family were righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was righteous. He may have just got to take his family because, you know, they weren't terrible. I don't know. Or God would have saved others as well from the destruction. So Lot tried to persuade the wicked men outside his door to leave the angels alone. But they persisted in trying to get Lot to send them out, didn't they? In both the story of Noah and also the story of Lot, God warned the righteous what he was about to do and told them how to protect themselves from what was coming. He sent somebody to get them, right? And in Noah's case, he said, "Build the ark. I'm going to destroy the world." When God brought destruction, that destruction was complete and it was sudden. And all those who were living wickedly did not have another chance to repent at the last minute. They had refused him all the times he had sent someone to warn them, all the times he had somebody preach to them, all the times he sent them a word, however many times. And Proverbs chapter 1 says, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. What he's saying is, I came to you, and I came to you, and I came to you, and I sent my word to you, and you refused me. So when you're in trouble, don't call out to me, because I'm not going to answer you. When destruction comes, that's it. We're done. But isn't God merciful? Yes, he is merciful. He's very merciful. We can see that in the fact that we're still here. The fact that I'm here, I promise you, means he's merciful. But that doesn't mean that he is always merciful. His mercy endures forever. That does not mean, however, we will have access to his mercy forever. It's just part of who his character is. Why then? Because they have already had many chances to repent, and they not only didn't repent, but they persecuted those that he sent to warn them. For instance, the angels ask Lot, is there anybody, do you have any other family? Basically is what they said. Hast thou any besides, son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, because we're taking it out. For we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I get a lot of emails from people who say, you know, I've told my family and told my family and told my family, they won't listen. They won't listen. That it's the end and it's fixing to happen and all that, and they won't listen. My family does listen now, but there was a long time that they didn't listen. So I know what you mean, and I know that pain. But when they won't listen, just take your energy and go into prayer instead, because you're wasting your breath. And they may be among some of the ones that don't listen in time, okay? We have to accept that. We don't want to accept it. We have to accept it. But that is what puts fervency in your prayers for them while you're still here on the earth, and you can still pray for them, okay? Pray for them. Intercede, but understand. You know, they have free choice just like we did. They can say no. They can refuse him. Hopefully they won't. And I believe if you intercede because it's God's will to save someone, and because his arm is not too short to save, I believe he will save them. It may be at the last, you know, 5 minutes of their life or something. They may not have much reward in heaven, but they may still make heaven. So keep praying. Don't give up. But, you know, it doesn't do any good to preach to them if they're not listening. There is such a thing as running out of time with the Lord. There is such a thing as no more chances to repent, and we can see that in both of these stories. That's how we know there is such a thing. God does want to save them, but he gave every man free will. I could still be out there playing in the world, y'all, instead of turning to him 21 years ago. You could still be out there playing in the world. The difference is we said yes, but we could have said no. In both the story of Noah and the story of Lot, the destruction of all the wicked happened as soon as he got the righteous to safety, immediately, okay? As soon as Noah and his family were safe in the ark, the flood came and it killed everything else that was alive. I always feel sorry for the animals when I read that story. As soon as Lot and his daughters got a safe distance, fire and brimstone rained down on the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were completely destroyed. So I want y'all to think about this. When you see violence and wickedness surrounding you, remember Noah's time and Lot's time. When you see nation rising against nation, like it talks about in Matthew 24, nation in that context, that word translated nation is the word ethnos. It means ethnicity. It means races or tribes. It means what we saw in the last couple of years in the United States. The racial tension. That's nation rising against nation, okay? I know it happens in other places. Remember that this was foretold. When you hear God sounding the warning to repent because destruction is coming, then watch. when you see the righteous being persecuted to a heavy degree. Pay attention. When you start seeing the righteous being taken out of the way, get ready, because it's fixing to happen. Okay. I got a Facebook message late last week from a very young friend of mine. Her name's Heather Holtner. She's 30 years old. And the Lord just told her she had less than 2 years. And he told her how he was going to take her out of the earth. Heather is a very devoted young woman. She's very devoted to God. She really loves God and does her best to serve him. She didn't know about the words that God had given me about the two-year people, the merciful people. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Isaiah 57 says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. I believe those are the people that have been counted worthy to escape what is to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. I can't tell you how many the merciful are, because he never told me, or if they encompass all of the bride of Christ. But what if they do? What if what God's actually saying is, all right, I'm fixing to take my merciful home, and they're actually the bride of Christ, and we don't know that's who they are, and he's fixing to take them out by the end of August. If my calculations are correct, by the end of August 2019, right before the Jewish New Year, in fact. I can tell you that many people have emailed me and told me that the Lord told them that they are among the people, the two-year people. And some of these people were told before the word came, the first word came out about the two-year people. And I cannot find that word. I would repost it, but I can't find it. There is a word out there somewhere from August or September last year that talks about the two-year people, and I can't find it anyplace. Or it has a note in it where I talked about them. And I've searched through the words. I've searched through the website. If anybody finds it, please send it to me. Please send it to me. A lot of people have been told that they have less than 2 years, and basically, you know, get your affairs in order, I'm going to take you home in the next 2 years. They've not been told an exact date or anything like that. But, and remember, some people in the Bible knew when they were going to be taken out. Paul knew. He knew. And he told people, you know, you're not going to see my face anymore. And let's see, who else knew? I think Hezekiah knew. I can't remember. And then he was given 15 more years. He might not have been. Yeah, he was told by the prophet that came to him. I forgot the prophet's name. Anyway, some people are told when they're going to go. Everyone is not told, and I don't know why. I can't answer that question. But my point is, a lot of people have been told about the two-year thing. There's quite a few of them. It's not a huge percentage of the people. But then I was reminded of the story, and I tried so hard to find this today. I've been working on this all day yesterday and all day today, and I tried so hard to find this, and I couldn't find it. There was a sermon that I preached sometime last year, and I gave a text illustration that talked about this guy who was having prayer meetings at his church, and all the congregation, of course, didn't show up for the prayer meetings, but the percentage was a lot less than he thought. Anyway, he was praying to God or something, I can't remember. And the Lord told him, his congregation was, I think, 400 people. And the Lord told him that if he were to come back that night, like the people in the prayer meeting were the only people that would have gone to heaven. And not because they went to the prayer meeting, because we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. Not because they went to the prayer meeting, but that number of people. And there were 40 people at the prayer meeting. And that's always struck me, 10%. All 400 of the people going to that church think they're saved, y'all. 10% is what God told that preacher would actually enter into heaven if he came back that night. 10%. That's scary. You look at a huge church like T.D. Jakes' church that I used to go to in Dallas. When I left, he had over 20,000 in his congregation. He was doing 4 services every Sunday morning because they were building a new building. They couldn't get them all in the old building. And 10% is what, 2,000 people? Come on now. This should put the fear of God in your heart. It puts the fear of God into mine, I'll tell you that. I can't tell you how many people the merciful add up to, because I don't know who they all are. What I can tell you is that there's an urgency that keeps rising up in my spirit, that the end is upon us and too many of us are asleep and too many of us are still in sin. Too many people are not discerning what's about to happen. Too many people are still playing footsies with the devil and thinking, oh, there's plenty of time, I can repent later, or I'll just do it just this one time, and then they do it again and again and again. There's plenty of time, I'll have time to repent. Really? Go read the story about Noah. Go read the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. You sure you're going to have time to repent? Because what if you don't? And I'm not trying to put legalism on y'all, but I believe that we're supposed to repent when we know we've sinned. Now, what happens if you sin and you're truly a Christian, devoted to God, you sin and you don't repent and you get taken out? I'm not sure. The Lord our God has made it abundantly clear in His Word how He feels about sin and how He feels about nations that turn their backs on Him, okay? And a lot of other subjects. It is our responsibility to know what His Word says about these things and to keep ourselves from evil. That is our responsibility, not His. Don't pray, oh God, keep me, you know, away from sin. He's not going to keep you from sin. You live in a world full of sin. You have to keep you from sin. You have to renew your mind in the Word. The rules are the same for everybody. There are no exceptions. I'm not an exception either. I have to do the same thing y'all have to do, okay? Now, I know there's going to be people going, oh, I'm going to be raptured out. None of this applies to me. Well, maybe. I don't know. I've never gotten a revelation that's going to happen for me. And when I prayed and asked God about the rapture back in 2008 when I was trying to figure out what was what, He showed me a vision about the second coming. And the world was being destroyed as He took them out. There was fire everywhere. All right? Don't go sending me nasty grams about the rapture, because I will not read them. I will not believe you over what He showed me. Okay? So don't waste your time and don't waste mine. You are free to believe you're going to be removed from that if you want to. I am trying to help you. Okay? I'm just trying to help you. You don't have to listen. You don't have to believe anything I say. You don't have to watch the video or listen to the podcast. I'm just trying to help you. Maybe we'll be taken out, or maybe we'll be protected as we walk through it. But before you discount all of this, keep this in mind, because the Bible has the answer to every question. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened. There shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I believe the elect are God's people. So if that's true, why would the days need to be shortened if the elect were already raptured out? I just want you to think about that. Except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Unless the elect are still in the world, they don't need to be shortened. And if the elect are God's people, the hour is late. It is very, very late. And God is starting to call the merciful, what He calls the merciful ones when He talked to me, home. If they turn out to be the bride of Christ, it's fixing to all be done, okay? Because the signs are there's great wickedness, there's violence, there's perversion, all of that. And God says, I'm going to take it out. He takes the righteous out and then He destroys it, period. That's the way He's done it before multiple times. That is the way He's going to do it now. I'm just telling you. The Bible is our history book that tells us how God does things and shows us His character and how He reacts to different situations. And He gave it to us so we would know. Anyway, that's all I have for y'all. I just wanted to share that with you. Those are the things that you watch for. And if you want to know what's going to happen, go read His Word. In fact, go read the very beginning of His Word, because the end is hidden in the beginning. And a lot of other things are hidden in the beginning too. If you look at the things that God created, you know, He created light, okay? Revelation tells us there's going to be gross darkness. He created the grass. Revelation tells us the grass is going to be burned up. He created male and female. Satan's trying to ruin all that right now and take that out. So, you know, you can get a lot of ideas about what's coming just reading all that. But if you read those stories where God destroyed something, for its wickedness, you will see how He's going to destroy the world in the end. because he doesn't change. He does things the same way. I hope that this is a blessing to you and that it helps you to really think about this. And if you're in sin, you need to get out of it. If you're playing footsies with the devil, please stop, because you are hurting yourself and you're really taking a huge chance. Thanks for watching and listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. You don't have to look far to see. The world around us is constantly changing, often in very unexpected ways. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss. Is worse coming? What is coming to the world for the people of God in these last days? What does God want us doing while we're waiting for His reappearance? Now is the Time contains 217 prophetic messages from the throne room of God discussing what is coming to America and the world in these end times, along with instructions on what to do to prepare. The Lord God has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Wings of Prophecy, Now is the Time, the 2015 messages, available in print only through wingsofprophecy.com. Wings of Prophecy, Now is the Time. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.